Joel, there's an ongoing discussion right now in the YouTube comments on the fan YouTube stream about the new Madden game. Are you a Madden player?
I'll say on occasion.
Do you like consistently buy the new game year in and year out?
No. I'm not too much of a video game person. Back in the day, yes, but...
Back in the day when the game was good. And it has not been good. Somebody said, Matt said 17, 20, 21, 22, 23 are the ones that he owns. 17 was the last good one. 16, 17. Since then, they've been terrible. And I've read good, like, I've seen people say, oh, it's not bad this year. It's actually all right. I won't let it dupe me. I did the MVP bundle last year. It was like $150, and you got both the new college, when it was then new, the College Football 25 and the new Madden 3 days pre-order, all the bells and whistles that come with the pre-orders too. I won't do that ever again. I just pre-ordered the deluxe edition to the college football game. This is the first time I might cave and buy it in like October, but right now it's the first time at this time of year that I haven't had a new Madden since like Madden 08. So I'm taking a hard stance. You know who else is taking a hard stance? How about this segue? Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward is taking a hard stance. We know this. 412-928-9370. How does it make you feel? Start with Andy in Burgettstown. What's up, Andy?
Hey, around this Cam situation, it may sound harsh, but I would cut him. Just like the Eagles did with T.O. and with 5 years on his contract, he caused so much trouble. And the Bucks did it with Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, you ain't thankful for $14 million a year. There's us out here working jobs under $20 an hour, and some people have to work two jobs to take care of their family.
Absolutely, Andy, and that's part of the reason why any of you guys out there that take that opinion, I'm not going to gripe with you. But the problem with it is the way that the Steelers are built is to win now in 2025, and this defense is eons better with Cam Hayward on it than it is without him on it. So cutting him, yes, I see where you're coming from, but that does not make the Steelers better for this season. And I think that of the totality of the situation, that's why it makes it so frustrating about Cam Hayward and his situation, is because you can't do that. It makes the team much worse because you're not going to start two rookies on the defensive line right away, especially if, you know, one of them was a fifth-round pick in Y.A. Black. He might not be a starting caliber defensive lineman. We don't know that. Derek Harmon might be a bust. There's everything that I've seen and have read points in the opposite direction of that. But still, the point is that Cam Hayward belongs on this defense in 2025. On ability alone, he makes them better. And that's why him causing a fuss with this contract is that much more frustrating.
Well, I think of the old Belichick rule. I don't care if you're Tom Brady, the star quarterback, or the rookie or whatever on the bench. You go by the same rules. You come out here and play hard. If you don't like it, get out of here.
There you go. Andy, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Hopefully my burp just didn't go out over the air. If it did, I apologize. That's what makes Cam Hayward's situation frustrating. Because Hayward makes this team better, and this team without Cam Hayward, you know, if for everything that you've seen so far and the Juan Thornhills of the world and the DK Metcalfs of the world that have raved about this defense and training camp, and I know Joe Starkey has taken a harsh stance on those guys coming out and saying how good the defense is. If the defense really is that good, best defense in the league, best defense that DK Metcalf has ever seen, that's not the case without Cam Hayward a part of it in 2025. He was an all-pro a season ago. That is why Cam Hayward is causing this fuss. But again, on the flip side of that, I see how people like Andy in Burgettstown, who just called in, take the stance that they do on Cam's situation, but you can't cut him. And that is not an option. I understand the message that you want to send, but it doesn't make this team better for 2025. Let's go to Clinton in Pittsburgh. What's up, Clinton?
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. And you know what's interesting? Like, you know, I got my sports management degree 10 years ago. And ever since I've been listening to this Cam Hayward story, the thing of it is that I can think of is that number one, first, is that, no, I don't think the Steelers need the cutting. No, that's not it. And people got to understand it's business. It's business to where that, you know, they have to understand that, number one, I put it on the agent. Because this should have been in writing from the beginning.
Yep.
You know what, my friend? And I know you got other callers coming in.
No, you're good. Keep going.
As you look at these agents, right, these sports agencies, you look at T.J. Watt. What's my man's name in Cleveland? I just got that big deal. What's his name again? Myles Garrett.
Yes.
Okay? Now you got what's his face in Dallas, all right? These agencies right now, listen, their image is so important because guess what? Now you got kids that's coming out of college looking for people that's going to get them the best deal. And when you have agencies like this, what we have with Cam Hayward, not say, hey, listen, we need to get this in writing and get everything covered so his client can be covered in a situation like this. Kid prospects that are coming out of college, they go look at this and say, you know what? I don't think I want to go here. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, you have to go ahead on and look at this as and also an issue with the agent. I get where Cam Hayward's coming from. I'm not going against him, and I'm not going for him. But when it comes to business, even if you don't work in sports, my friend, if you're working in business, the one thing about it is you have to get everything down in writing. I don't care what field you're in. And if you don't get it down in writing, then guess what? That's on you.
Yep, Clinton, thanks for the call, man. If anybody should be cut, it should be Priority Sports and Entertainment cut by Cam Hayward. That's his agency, and Clinton hit the nail on the head. Why are we agreeing to this deal this time a year ago? Like, this is the one thing, and it's another frustrating element of what's going on here. Like, you saw this contract a year ago. You knew what it entailed. And a year ago, it was fine. But, oh, I'm an old pro now. Where the agency needs to step in and say, and like Cam said that, he said, I went to them in February when I said, I'm going to come to you. Well, no, what did he say? When I signed the deal, I'm going to come to you in February after I'm an all pro and try and get more money. If that's the mindset that you have, where's the agent? Where is Priority Sports Entertainment? It's like Jerry Maguire, which is a movie about us football agent. Help me help you. If Cam Hayward truly has that mindset of, I'm going to bounce back, I'm going to be an all pro, and I'm going to make more money. Where's the agent saying, you know what, Cam, you're right. Let's sign a 1-year extension. And then have more leverage because you're on an expiring deal to then get more money. Let's bet on you. You're a client that I've made over $130 million for in your career. One of the best defensive linemen at your age. One of the best defensive linemen, period. I'm betting on you. Let's agree to a 1-year extension with the Steelers. Let's get you an all-pro. And then let's have more leverage. If they only agreed to a 1-year extension, we would not be having this conversation. They would not be having this conversation at all. Cam Hayward would be getting more money and we would be putting up with it. 412-928-9370. Our friend from Washington, Paul's on the fan. Hi, Paul.
Mr. Hillgrove, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Better now, Paul, that I'm talking to you. What's up?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. At least some people appreciate me. Hey,
Paul. Paul, you cut out on us. Paul, you cut out. Repeat what you said.
Wasn't it Branch Rickey that said we haven't won anything with you, and so on and so forth? You've done nothing. You haven't won nothing, Cam. You signed a contract last year, and as far as I'm concerned, Junior is setting a bad precedent with. If he gives him any money, you just signed this a year ago. If you didn't have a good year, you still would have got your $13 million. These guys are getting these signing bonuses. They're getting $13, $14, $20 million signing bonuses. And once they get their bonus or their roster bonus, they don't have to show up. And that's what he's pulling. That's got me more pissed than anything else is the fact that he's not even doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he already got paid 90% of his money for the year. As far as I'm concerned, he can go to Seattle or he can go to football purgatory in Carolina. You know what? He should appreciate what the hell he has. And yes, he is. As far as I'm concerned, trade Cam. Get him the hell out of here. He's going to be a problem. Have a good night, Mr. Hillgrove.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it, man. That's unfortunately not an option. And that goes back to our guy Andy in Burgettstown who called in. As frustrating as that might be, and as tough of a pill that might be to swallow if you take those stances, you can't. Unless you want this team to really not have a chance to achieve what they think it can achieve. This team is built to win now. Winning now is with Cam Hayward. It's not with him on another team. Ralph in Newcastle's on the Fan. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
How do you think this defense is so much better with Cam Hayward? Please answer me that.
Because Cam Hayward is an all-pro defensive lineman.
Did you watch the playoff game when Baltimore ran 300 yards down Cam Hayward's throat?
Ralph, the whole defense played like crap in that game, Ralph. I'm not going to pin it just on Cam Hayward. He was an all-pro in 2024.
I wouldn't have paid T.J. Watt his contract either. He didn't even exist in that playoff game. He didn't even exist.
Ralph, if I gave you the option to have two all-pros on your defense or not, what would you take?
Cam Hayward's 36 years old,
And was an all-pro? Okay, he was an all-pro, Ralph. I don't care how old he is. He's coming off of an all-pro season. And that's why I'm as frustrated as I am with this situation is because you can't do without an all-pro defensive lineman. You can't.
My friend, they can't stop the run. With Cam Hayward or without Cam Hayward. They can't stop the run.
But as Cam Hayward
told Aaron Rodgers, if you don't want to be a Steeler, don't be a Steeler. Get the hell out. And now he's doing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's another reason why it's so frustrating is it's a couple of shades of hypocrisy from Cam Hayward. But Cam Hayward makes this defense better. I understand that they sucked in a playoff game and gave up a buku amount of yards to Derrick Henry. TJ Watt's guilty of that as well. But this defense is still better with Cam Hayward and with TJ Watt than without. And I don't understand the argument of trading these guys just because, and also rooting for the team to succeed. You can't have it both ways.
If I can get a 2 for him, I'd trade him tomorrow. I would trade him tomorrow.
All right, Ralph.
He's 36 years old, and I would show him the door.
All right, Ralph, thanks for the call, man. And again, that is why this situation is so frustrating. And I'm going to say this. If you have that take, if you have the take of trade Cam Hayward, if you had the take of get TJ Watt the hell out of here, don't root for the Steelers to win games then. It makes absolutely no sense to me to sit here and say trade your all-pro defensive tackle, trade your defensive player of the year winning edge rusher, an all-pro, and say, yeah, I'm going to root for the Steelers to win every game and make a playoff run. It makes no sense because the one thing doesn't happen if you trade both of those guys. It does not happen. Cam in Ohio is on the Fan. What's up, Cam?
Oh, hey.
What's up?
Oh, my God, I'm losing my train of thought.
You're good. We're talking about Cam Hayward, the defense?
Yes. And I mean, these new guys are coming in, DK Metcalf, and you got, Ramsey and Thornhill. Oh, this is, and even Coach Tomlin. This is the greatest defense. This could be historic. But these new guys haven't seen him do anything in practice. So if that defense is so good without him, why do they need him?
Because he's an all-pro interior defensive lineman.
But they're saying it's the best defense they've ever seen, and he hasn't done nothing in front of them guys.
I think that I don't want to put words in those guys' mouth, but when they say that, they assume that Cam Hayward will be a part of it.
Okay, they're assuming he'll be. Okay.
Listen, nobody was talking about, especially it went all over all of our heads. And when we covered the first couple of weeks of training camp, everybody assumed that when you talked about the Steelers defense in 2025, that Cam Hayward would be a part of it because the deal got done a year ago. That's why this is so frustrating.
You guys are practicing with him all the time, or practicing with the team, and he's done nothing. And they're still saying this is the greatest defense ever. And they haven't seen him do anything. So they're just assuming he'll play and he's going to be great.
I mean, he was an all-pro, Cam, last year. Thanks for the call, man. And that is a good point. But again, we kind of all didn't bat an eye at Cam Hayward's situation because, I mean, he's a veteran and gets vets days off. And I think everybody kind of just assumed, oh yeah, that guy signed a contract a year ago and it wouldn't be a problem. And here we are. It's a great discussion. Let's keep it rolling at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Cam Hayward. Jake's in Bethel Park. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. I'll tell you what, this situation has got to be one of the most ridiculous and ludicrous situations, albeit we've had many as a Steelers fan that I've had my 26 young years of life. It just blows my mind how you reward Cam last year of a mediocre, if not below average, 2023 season, making him the highest paid defensive player on that side of the ball of his age in NFL history. And he's got the nerve to come back and ask for more money to even extend that record. If I'm Omar Khan, I'm getting on the phone. I'm trying to make a deal for Terry McLaurin to send him there. I think we can restructure Highsmith's contract so that the cap hit isn't as high and we can get more cap space. I think you got to go get Rodgers another guy because that defense, I think, is good enough without Cam. We took a first-round draft pick on Harmon. You know, why not let the kid try and play? He's on a rookie contract. Why not let him try and play? He was a stud in college. Get him his snaps and see what he can do. Like,
to me though, and then again, it's the whole point of the discussion, Jake. It's just there's still a hole on that defensive line without Cam Hayward and with Derek Harmon. To me, Harmon just replaces and is an upgrade, a significant upgrade over Larry Ogunjobi. And then you've got Keanu Benton and then Cam Hayward. And then I like what I've seen out of Y.A. Black, but again, fifth round pick, and I'm going to keep that same energy for a guy like Will Howard. And obviously that's a different discussion, but you brought up a good point. Like, they rewarded Cam Hayward, and again, he had a lackluster year because he was injury-ridden in 2023. An aging, injury-ridden interior defensive lineman got a multi-year extension. I think I'm preaching to the choir, man, there. Thanks for the call. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Randy in Beaver Falls. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm going to disagree with a lot of people because Cam paid his dues, and he still got gas in the tank, and we do need him. And the young guys like Derek Harmon and all them all to learn techniques from Cam.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great mentor. So you're not even upset with him at all that he's acting the way he's acting?
No, it's not our money. It's Mr. Rooney's money. Come on, man. You know? I mean, he should be paying the man, really. I mean, you know, he's got probably one or two more years left.
Randy, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, I it's not great sports talk radio for me to sit on the fence here. And, you know, when I hear folks that say that they want to trade him, I think that is much more of a likely discussion to have. Not likely discussion, but a more popular opinion these days. Then, yeah, what the hell's the big deal? Pay him. I was actually shocked that we got that opinion. And again, I don't know how good of radio it is for me to sit on the fence and say, oh, I see both sides. But to me, that take is just a little bit too aggressive in favor of Cam Hayward. We still need to say, what the hell, man, when it comes to the way he's acting and the way that he's chasing this money. One more call before the break. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Ohio. What's up, Jeff? Hello, Jeff. Goodbye, Jeff. See, that's why, like, as soon as I took the call from Jeff, like, three or four people dropped. You don't drop until you drop. Because Jeff did not have a good opportunity there. Wasn't attentive. So a guy that was further down the line, Rob in West Mifflin, will benefit. What's up, Rob?
Oh, man, a whole bunch of these clowns calling in, man. Trading. Hey, shut up, man. They're going to give him a couple of hours. He's going to be there. Y'all going to be watching on Sunday. And my whole thing with this is, man, you know, when you sign a contract, you know, the goal is to make the Super Bowl, make all pro. That's the goal because you're under contract.
Yep.
I understand you're going to, you know, give him a couple of hours. That's Cam. It's Cam Hayward we're talking about.
I think that's what's going to happen. But again, and as I kind of play devil's advocate to your take here, Rob, I mean, we still need to be a little upset at the way he's going about it, right?
I'm not saying that I'm upset about it. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like all these people calling and talking crazy, trading this, trading that. Listen, man, if we didn't have all that extra money, Cam wouldn't be doing this. You know, there's money to throw around. Okay, give me a couple extra dollars. I went crazy for y'all last year. If there wasn't no extra money, if we wasn't up under the cap, I don't think Cam would even be making his argument, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so I agree with you wholeheartedly, Rob. Thanks for the call, man. I didn't mean to cut him off, but we do have to run to a break. This is great stuff. The phone lines are jam-packed, and we're going to go to Chris Halleck of DK Pittsburgh Sports next to get his opinion. So a guest joining us in the next segment, but the phone lines remain open pretty much for the rest of the 8 o'clock hour, 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Cam Hayward and Chris Boswell's contract situations, 412-928-9370. After the break, Chris Halleck of DK Pittsburgh Sports joins the fold, talks about the joint practice as much as he's allowed to. You can't report on everything that happens. You can only report on what the players tell you. So we'll try to get the most we can out of Chris Halleck when it came to the joint practice today with the Buccaneers. And we'll talk about Cam Hayward as well with the Steelers beat writer from DK Pittsburgh Sports. All that next on the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan. The Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. The Pittsburgh Steelers held a joint practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Acrisure Stadium today. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason action on Saturday, and it's going to look very, very similar to preseason game number one against Jacksonville. Pretty much the same guys will not play, Aaron Rodgers included. Right now, we head out to the phones, and we check in with Chris Halleck of DK Pittsburgh Sports, who covers the Steelers. I have to get this out of the way first, Chris. Way back in the day, you and me and a couple of other buffoons had a Steelers blog trying to make our way, and here I am on the Fan, and here you are covering the Steelers each day, getting paid for it for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Pretty darn cool to have you on the show, man, and thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's really cool to be doing this for a living, but I feel like we're both pretty darn good at our jobs too. So let's do this thing.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on. So again, it's weird, obviously, because with closed practice today, you guys could only report on things that people acknowledged happened. Pat Freiermuth acknowledged that the offense of the Steelers beat the Buccaneers 6-1 in 7 shots. As much as you can, man, like, let's dive into it. The Steelers offense seems to have been coming along, at least chemistry wise, and especially between Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it's definitely heading in the right direction. Nothing is going to be perfect here in the middle of August with 2 preseason games left to go. What you want to see is improvement, you know, in the process. You know, so much of what fans get riled up over during this time of year are results. You know, they hear, you know, the starting offense, you know, Aaron Rodgers is throwing interceptions in the 2-minute drill, and he might, you know, he threw an interception on the very first pass of training camp. Results don't matter this time of year. It's all about the process. It's all about the timing between Rodgers and the receivers, specifically with DK Metcalf and how that's going to work, because, you know, well, they're paying DK Metcalf a lot of money, and so they need him to be productive, and they need the guy who's going to be the one slinging the football around the yard to get him the ball consistently, and that connection is going to matter. But eventually, during the process, you do want to eventually see that coalesce into something like today, which Pat Freiermuth said, with 7 shots going their way, 6-1. You know, that's a really good thing. But also, you know, they didn't get it. Pat Freiermuth also said they didn't get a first down in 2-minute drill. So there are still things to work on, as would be expected, here in mid-August, but I do think the offense is at least heading in the right direction.
Non-practice related, Andy Weidel, assistant GM, got to talk today, and obviously his fingerprints are all over the draft and the Steelers' draft preparation year in and year out. It's no secret that the 2026 draft is something that a lot of people are keeping their eyes on, especially for a quarterback. What did Andy get into talking about, you know, draft prep for 2026 and how they perceive the 2026 draft class? I know it's a long ways away, but obviously the Steelers will probably have a need at quarterback at that time, and a lot of people are keeping their eyes on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Andy didn't want to dive too much into next year's draft class because, well, there's a whole college football season to be played between now and then. Like, for example, like last year, everybody thought Carson Beck was going to be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. Well, he didn't even come out of the class, you know, and so you never know what's going to happen. And so that's probably one of the reasons why Andy didn't want to dive too much into it. But he definitely said that, you know, there will likely be at least more quarterbacks available. But he really stressed the work done to acquire the number of picks that they're going to have, which right now they're projected to have 12. Obviously getting the extra third round pick in the George Pickens trade. And then through the compensatory formula, they should get four more, which would give them another third because, you know, with Dan Moore signing with the Titans. Mm-hmm. So right now they have 3 third-round picks, 2 fourth-round picks, 2 fifth-round picks. You know, they're going to be, you know, when you have that kind of draft capital, it gives you a whole bunch of flexibility for what you can do, whether you want to use all 12 picks on 12 different players or you want to be able to use some of that to be able to move up, go get your quarterback, go get whoever you want to go get. And so it's always good to have that kind of stuff. And that's really the stuff that Andy really stressed today.
That's DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers beat writer Chris Halleck on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Andy Weidel has also kind of been tasked, Chris, with revamping the Steelers offensive line. What did he get into about Broderick Jones and his progress?
Andy and then everybody else that I've talked to on the inside, and I've reported this on our app on DK Pittsburgh Sports as well, they continue to have faith in Broderick Jones. He is now playing the position they drafted him to play. I know a lot is made about that. You know, the fans make a lot about, well, Broderick played the right side. He's been playing the wrong side for 2 years. Well, now he's playing the left side. You know, he's moved over to where they drafted him to play. And they continue to have faith in the guy. You know, that they, and I think, you know, so far you're starting to see why. The athleticism is there. The movement ability is there. There's still some work to be done. You know, reviewing the film from Jacksonville, there are still some things that he's going to have to work through to get better at, obviously. But they still have a lot of faith in the guy. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means that he's a lock to have his fifth-year option picked up next May. But this is a pretty big year for Broderick Jones. And, again, we've been reporting this on DK Pittsburgh Sports for a while. It's a do-or-die year, sink-or-swim type of year for Broderick Jones. He has to do a lot of proving people wrong in terms of any kind of skepticism this year. And that includes some people on the inside. So it's going to be a really crucial year for him.
As far as the preseason and the way it's structured goes, obviously the Steelers and Mike Tomlin said today that it seems like none of the guys that didn't play against Jacksonville, they're not going to play against Tampa Bay on Saturday either. Do we get the sense that we're going to really get like a quote-unquote dress rehearsal out of the Steelers? Are we going to see Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf at all in the preseason, maybe in the final one? It's one of those things for me, I just haven't quite been able to figure out like how teams navigate that strategy with 3 preseason games instead of 4, because it seemed like the 3rd of 4 was always the one where you'd see the ones the most. Now it's just, it kind of seems like it depends on how each team attacks it.
I think the big thing about this, and I asked Mike Tomlin about it today at his press conference, is that the game has evolved so much when it comes to how the preseason is handled. Obviously, going from 4 preseason games down to 3 changes the way you handle it, but then there are certain restrictions, and then there's preserving players' health, and you know it's a lot different when you have a 24-year-old quarterback versus a 41-year-old quarterback in terms of how you want to make sure that he can like handle him so that he can be ready and be as healthy as possible for the season. The one thing that from talking with different people about this is, listen, the preseason, what you see there can be very, very fickle. And if anybody didn't learn their lesson from the Kenny Pickett perfect passer rating from a couple of years ago, then like that's like the epitome of don't take any stock in what you see, because what offenses do, what defenses do, it's very vanilla. It's a very small portion of the playbook. They're not tipping their hand on anything they're really going to be doing in the regular season. And that's why these joint practices that happen today have much more value, because they can work on the kind of things that they want to do in the regular season without the entire nation having access to not only watching it live, but also having access to NFL Plus accounts and having all 22 access to be able to sit back there and watch film on the kind of stuff that they're going to be doing in the regular season. So the preseason, really, it can be very, very fickle one way or another, whether a team goes 3-0 or 0-3. Again, it's just, I don't think it's as necessary as it used to be based off of just the way that teams are just kind of almost treating the preseason as like it just doesn't have the same importance that it used to.
With that too, Chris, and we're talking to Chris Alex, Steelers beat writer for DK Pittsburgh Sports, do we get the sense that the quarterbacks will kind of be an evenly distributed, kind of the same way that they were last week with how Rudolph and Thompson played? And if that kind of a two-parter here, what's the latest on Will Howard?
He wasn't even like out there today dressed or anything. I don't anticipate him playing Saturday. To see the quick turnaround to see if he can play next Thursday also just seems really far-fetched to me, but who knows? Maybe everything will be better by then and he can at least get a few reps in. I'm a little skeptical on that, but you know, nothing is decided at this point. But yeah, I would assume you would see a lot of Mason Rudolph, or necessarily a lot, but maybe an extra series of Mason Rudolph, but a lot more of Skylar Thompson. Maybe Logan Woodside gets in there for an extra series or so. Now that he's, you know, been with the team for more than just a couple of days. So I think you're going to see a pretty similar distribution of reps from, you know, the guys who do end up starting the game down to the guys who are trying to make the roster.
As things move along here in the preseason, Chris, who, in your opinion, has kind of elevated themselves as far off the roster bubble, if possible? And is there anybody that has put themselves further deeper into the roster bubble as the preseason rolls here?
Well, it's funny, like watching obviously the receivers today, like it just, I'm trying to find a receiver that like could be possibly jumping off the page, you know, anybody who might be doing anything to possibly earn, maybe if they don't earn a spot on the practice squad, or like if they don't earn a spot on the roster, maybe it's on the practice squad. Or maybe if the Steelers decide to keep a sixth receiver, like who could that guy be if another guy gets injured or something? And the guy, there's been a lot of talk about Mac Turleman and Rock Taylor. I honestly think Keyshawn Williams has done a lot of really good things, not just in the preseason game, but throughout training camp and throughout today's practice. I can't get into obviously specifics, you know, without any kind of verbal confirmation or anything. But I think he's been honestly probably the most impressive of all the guys that have been talked about. And then on the other side of things, I have a hard time seeing right now Beanie Bishop making the roster, just because you have your top four decided. You know, it's Ramsey, it's Slay, it's Porter, it's Eccles, and then you've got like this two spots for three guys between James Pierre, Corey Trice, Beanie Bishop. Well, James Pierre, Corey Trice both do multiple things. They play on the outside. They contribute on special teams. Beanie Bishop only plays in the slot, and they got Jalen Ramsey, who when everybody's healthy is going to be playing in the slot. And then when he moves to the outside, as what happened today, what Brandon Eccles confirmed today, Eccles is in the slot. You know, so now he's the second guy going into the slot. And so at this point, I have a hard time seeing Beanie Bishop earn a roster spot. Maybe the Steelers give up on Corey Trice because of the health issues. He's still got the hamstring injury. But it would not surprise me if Beanie's not on the 53 by August 27th.
Yeah, that's Chris Halleck, Steelers beat writer for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And you brought up, you know, Jalen Ramsey, and it was nice for, you know, to ask questions to guys that and get an outside perspective on the Steelers secondary. And former Ohio Stater and Bucks wide receiver Emeka Egbuka kind of talked about that with you guys today. You get the sense that, I mean, it obviously when you hear – you know, guys like Juan Thornhill and DK Metcalf talk about the Steelers defense and what it could accomplish. Yeah, it's Steelers on Steelers, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. But like in that too, when you get an outside perspective from an opponent and what this defense can provide, does it give maybe the Steelers more confidence in really how good this defense potentially can be?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's like you said, it's one thing for Ramsey and these guys to do things in training camp practices. It's something else entirely to go into a joint practice and to leave an impression on a team that's most likely going to win its division, or at least the favorite to win its division. Granted, very weak division, but still a division champion favorite most likely. Listen, the Steelers are very, very confident in what they have with Ramsey and Slay and Porter. Like, the ability to man up against just about any team in the league. And if that plan comes to fruition, they will be able to then get after the quarterback more often, even if they don't blitz or even when they do blitz. If you can lock down coverage on the back end and give the pass rush an extra half a second, it's going to turn more like pressures into sacks and more. It's just going to create a lot more havoc, create more splash, which they're always talking about splash. I'm not trying to be like Jalen Ramsey. From what I saw in training camp, might be the most versatile weapon this defense has had since prime Troy Polamalu. Like, and mainly just because he can play in the slot, he can play on the outside, he can play safety, he can do a number of different things, and he can be dangerous in a lot of different areas, just like Polamalu used to do. It's going to be a really dangerous team, or a dangerous defense. It would not surprise me if Jalen Ramsey reasserts himself as like a top five cornerback in the league this year.
Last one for you, Chris. Cam Hayward, how does the situation end? When does it end, using your best judgment?
Best judgment is he will get that there will be a new contract, a restructured contract. Something is going to get done to make Cam Hayward happy, to end this hold-in so that he doesn't miss games, that he's committed. Something is going to get done at this point. Not exactly sure when, but it also wouldn't surprise me if this takes until the final, like literally week of heading into going to play the Jets for the season opener. Sometimes it takes that long. It took that long with TJ Watt with his contract extension back in 2021. This might take that long. It's hard to say at this point, but I think ultimately it's just going to get done. The Steelers don't usually allow this kind of stuff to happen with a legacy player like Hayward. It's one thing for it to happen with somebody like Le'Veon Bell, who was definitely on his way to being a legacy player, but wasn't quite at this stage like Cam Hayward is, who's always been thought of and respected as a one-helmet guy. So I think they want to keep him a one-helmet guy and make him happy, and I think ultimately that's what's going to happen.
That's Chris Halleck. He covers the Steelers for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Chris, man, appreciate you. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
There he goes, Chris Halleck. You can check him out at dkpittsburghsports.com and on social media, X at Chris Halleck, H-A-L-I-C-K-E. Get ready to slay this school year at the 13th annual hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Back to School event, August 18th at Acrisure Stadium, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's presented by Target Freight Management, a drive-through for backpacks, school supplies, food and drinks while supplies last. And that's brought to you by GBU Life Insurance, annuities and member benefits since 1892, and Rugby Realty. 412-928-9370. The phone lines are back open. Ding, 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 ding. Send the hounds. You guys can flood the phone lines yet again on the Cam Hayward situation. Sound off at 412-928-9370. Coming up, that and more on the Fan Evening Show. We're with you until 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Fan Evening Show. My name is Jack Hillgrove. With you until 10:35 tonight. Just got done talking to Steelers beat writer Chris Halleck. Covers the team for DK Pittsburgh Sports. Chris brought the heat, even teased one member of the secondary that was on the 53-man roster all of last year, predicting that he will get cut when the Steelers cut down the roster in a couple of weeks. If you want to find out who he thinks that is, use that Odyssey app to rewind and listen to the conversation. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I asked Chris about hearing about the Steelers defense from an outside perspective. You know, and Joe Starkey, very critical of this, and rightfully so. Like, it's one thing to hear Juan Thornhill and DK Metcalf rave about their team's defense. What else are they going to say? Oh, yeah, no, the defense stinks. That's like, it's the second time I've made a Jerry Maguire reference in this show. Joel, have you ever seen Jerry Maguire? No, probably not.
Yeah, no.
I know you're not a big movie guy, but for as much as you love sports, I would look into it. Phenomenal, phenomenal movie.
All right.
There's a scene in Jerry Maguire where Cuba Gooding's character, Rod Tidwell, plays the wide receiver trying to get paid. Tom Cruise plays his agent, Jerry Maguire. He's leaving a game with Rod, Cuba Gooding, and he's signing autographs. And as he's signing an autograph for like a young fan, he just goes, "Quarterback sucks, man. He's going to get me killed." Like, nobody in Steelers camp is saying and is going to say that the defense stinks. So it's one thing to hear that and hear those sound bites from those guys. But I think it's a completely other thing to hear it from a wide receiver on another team. We got that today. Our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, in the mix, as he is always, was at the joint practice today. And the local media got a chance to catch up with Bucks rookie wide receiver, former Buckeye, Emeka Egbuka. And he talked about facing the Steelers secondary and what they bring to the table. Let's hear from an outside perspective about the Steelers secondary.
Looked like you had really good work against the Steelers and Ramsey going. You're able to get all the corners right, obviously.
Yeah.
What did you think of the way you guys executed in 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think we had a good practice today. Obviously, nothing's ever perfect. There's a ton to build on. But just being able to go against another team always feels good, not going against the Bucks every single day. So, it was a good practice. Build momentum into Saturday.
Like, what was the chatter like out there?
It wasn't too crazy. Obviously, it's a very competitive atmosphere. There's probably a couple scuffles going on during special teams period and stuff like that, but it's mutual respect from both teams. They have a lot of great players, and as do we.
Especially
on their defense and on our offense. So that was always fun being able to have that matchup. But, you know, it's going to be competitive every single time.
We'll get back into it more, but I forgot to preface. There were Tampa Bay media there too, obviously, and they're going to ask Buccaneers-related questions as well. But let's keep Emeka Egbuka rolling.
What about closing out that 2 minute drill?
I thought it was great. I think J-Mac had a ton of big plays. Obviously, I had one that was unfortunately called back, but that's football. It happens. But J-Mac really stepped up big, had one down the left sideline for 15, 20 yards, and then another one, little tip drill against Jalen Ramsey. So got us the momentum, got us in the red zone, and obviously we're going to Mike in that situation. He was able to cap it off.
What kind of stride do you think you've made and the offense has made so far in the preseason?
One more time, sorry.
What kind of strides do you think you've made and this offense has made so far throughout training camp?
I think we're just getting more comfortable with each other. Building that chemistry, it doesn't just build overnight. Obviously, Bake and Mike have that chemistry. They've been building it over the past couple of years. And just them being in the league for so long, I think it's important for people like me and Jalen and all the other young receivers to be able to see that and kind of mimic it and continue to grow. So I think it's been good. I think we've definitely built our chemistry up heading into the season.
You mentioned Ramsey. How much just going against a guy like him that's been around for a long time, done this really well for a long time, how much does that help you guys develop as receivers to have a practice against him?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it's an amazing opportunity. I've been a big fan of him ever since he got into the league. I think he's a great corner, phenomenal player. So just being able to go against him and just make myself better because I know I'm going against the best of the best. So not making the moment bigger than what it is, but being able to showcase my talents and test really who I am is what excites me as a competitor. So hopefully he gets to play a decent amount on Saturday. I know it's preseason, but I would love to go against him.
How do you feel like you did?
Yeah, I thought it was solid. Not too much man coverage today. A lot of zone out there. So I don't know if their scheme's going to be any different come game time, but we'll see.
What did you think of Baker's ball placement down there in the red zone?
Oh, phenomenal. Every single time. I don't get surprised anymore. I've seen it time and time again. Him and Mike connecting on that two-minute drill, it's kind of just routine for us at this point. So obviously we got the energy up, but it's nothing we don't expect.
I guess if I may, obviously Will's on the other team. What can Steeler fans expect from Will when he gets healthy?
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting behind one of the greatest talents of quarterback of all time. And, from what I hear from Will, we talk And apparently Aaron's just pouring into him constantly, and Will's just a sponge. He's going to absorb everything that Aaron is giving him, all the knowledge and all the experience, and he's not going to forget it. It's going to be borrowed knowledge, not bought. So he's the type of guy who football is his passion, it's his dream, and it's what he does. He lives and breathes it. He's the first one to leave, first one in, last one to leave. Just type of player, great leadership. He's going to do this for a very long time and be very successful.
Did you end up talking with Mike Tomlin at all during the pre-draft process or any of the pro day visits, anything like that?
Yeah, we spoke in Indy at the combine. I had a formal interview with them, so really really cool to be able to talk to him. Obviously one of the legendary coaches that are in the NFL, so great energy to the practice field even today. I know we're going against him and everything, but just being able to chop it up a little bit, he brought great energy to the field.
How'd you guys do with the seven shots drill?
One more time.
How'd you guys do with the seven shots drill, the first thing you guys did, team versus team?
I think we went, we did two-point plays.
Yeah.
We went 4-3. We had seven plays, so I think that's how we like it. You know, you want to be on the winning end. Obviously, we want to go 7-0, but, you know, it's going to be tight in the NFL every single time, especially down in the red zone, those two-point plays, everything's on the line. So anytime we can come out with a win, we're happy, but we're looking at those plays that we lost and considering how to get better.
What can you tell us about Baker Mayfield, how he thinks his team?
Yeah, I mean, he's a true leader, a vet who's been doing this for a long time, someone I'm super grateful that I came into this organization just to be able to learn from him, someone who's constantly pouring into others, and just a very genuine person. Baker does a lot for this team, and he's going to continue to.
You get a sense Baker's more locked in, or is it just a mustache?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing with the facial hair. I like it personally.